Welcome to the Ashes to Wings podcast, where we tell stories of overcomers and give you tips and tricks to living a fuller, more embodied life. Here's your host, Jenny O'Connor.
Hey friends, welcome to Ashes to Wings. Today we'll be talking with Isabel Drawn, who is a life transformation and mental fitness coach and spiritual mentor. She grew up surrounded by hardworking and resilient women who worked hard to take care of their families and, sadly, put their needs on the back burner. So, naturally, as a young girl, she became what she saw, the spirit of survival with loud whisper. She didn't have a voice and had no peace, joy, or freedom. In the end, her own needs became neglected, leaving her feeling empty inside. Now, Isabel is the founder of Loud Whisper and Reignite Your Voice, and the co-founder of VizX Design Studios. She is a mother, wife, and serial entrepreneur. She specializes in helping entrepreneurs and purpose-driven women who, despite their success, have lost connection with the core of their being and intuition. Isabel empowers them to find and align with their voice and soul. Isabel, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Jenny.
Absolutely. I'm so excited. So Isabel, what is a mental fitness coach?
Well, Jenny, I would describe a mental fitness coach as a coach who helps you optimize the part of your brain that experiences and responds to life or reality as it unfolds in front of you.
So you're not actually having them do sit-ups and lift weights?
No, they're not actually doing sit-ups or lifting weights, but they are doing mental fitness and reps with your brain. So it's kind of like going to the gym. In order for you to get the muscle, you continuously have to do reps and train your muscles to grow. It's the same thing as a mental fitness. We have core muscles that we have to work on to help us actually be in a positive light.
So it's just kind of working on that and doing that every day to build up that muscle, so to speak.
Exactly.
So that you can be stronger mentally.
And that, exactly. Yes.
Wonderful. And you grew up around hardworking women. Tell me more about that.
Oh, gosh. I don't know if your audience knows. Tanzanian, Zambian, I'm an African girl, came to America at the age of 17 for education. But growing up, I grew up amongst very resilient, courageous, entrepreneurial, professional women. I mean, these women will stand tall amongst many. They took care of their family. And standing amongst most people, they were just so resilient. And what I noticed was, and I didn't notice back then, what I noticed is that they were so strong, but they didn't have a voice. These women neglected their own needs for everybody else. Their pride and identification was tied to giving and doing for everybody but themselves. And then ultimately, they lived a life where their soul was dying. But you couldn't know every day. When you see them every day, they're successful entrepreneurs, wives, and mothers. But when they get home at night, when the doors are shut, these women were in so much pain.
I feel like that's such a common thread with women in general, that our value is based on how much we give to other people, you know, and it's such this outward energy and so little time spent on our own needs.
Yes. And it's because as women, you know, we're nurturers, we love and we care, we're wired that way. But I also believe that society has placed these expectations on us that leave us depleted, they leave us sick, they leave us lost, really, because from the time, like you said, women, I know growing up, these women didn't teach me this, but you're a product of your environment. So me watching them, all I watched was them do for everybody else, right? Yeah. And then now when I really think about it, I didn't even know much about who they were. I just knew what they did.
Yes. Yeah. So your identity becomes wrapped up in what you provide for other people instead of who you are as a person.
Exactly. Exactly. So naturally, just like anybody, you're a product of your environment. So I became that survival mechanism. While it helped me, I appreciate it. And I'm so grateful because I wouldn't be the woman I am today if I didn't watch these resilient, courageous women really stand up and show who they are. I got that survival mechanism for them. But what I knew is it left me broken. Yeah.
So tell me more about that, about neglecting your own needs and how you finally came to that realization that this is not okay. This is not my full self.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to tell you, I had an epiphany. I would say my dark night and soul when I reached my, I would call it a breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
I reached a breaking point. I was at the brink of turning 40. And I was thinking to myself, you know, about my life in totality, right? I'm a successful mother, wife, and I'm an entrepreneur, and I have all these moving parts going on in my life. And I was just sitting there thinking that I give everything to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I neglect my own needs. I make sure that I take care of everybody. So from the outside looking in, everything seemed great. And to be honest, I had everything I wanted,
mm-hmm.
but I'd lost myself along the way. And as I mentioned earlier, I neglected my own needs. I was making sure everybody's taken care of. And to be honest with you, I became a master of orchestrating, helping everybody else around me orchestrate their own life story. And I evicted myself out of my own life story.
Wow. That's a powerful point.
Yeah. So I evicted myself out of my own life story. And that's when it hit me. I said, I need to learn how to form these boundaries, force some healthy boundaries around myself so I can learn how to take care of myself like I'm taking care of everybody else, because I was putting everybody ahead of me. I was making sure everybody is taken care of. Mm-hmm. And I was going through all this, you know, the epiphany, experiencing my turmoil. I'm having my breakdown. And as I mentioned earlier, I was at the brink of turning 40. So one night I'm laying in my bed, it's 3 a.m. in the morning. And I say to myself, Isabel, if you do not take care of yourself, if you don't figure out a way to really fill your own needs, you're going to end up like the women that you grew up around, who you admire, who these women taught you to become the strong, resilient woman that you are. So these women were successful, as I mentioned earlier, wise mother and entrepreneurs. But if you don't learn to take care of yourself, Isabel, you're going to be a successful mother, wife, and an entrepreneur, but you're going to live a life of dying inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I was exhausted from dying inside. I was exhausted from my soul breaking into pieces. And I knew I had to do something, because besides these women not having a voice, I noticed that a lot of them also died at an early age. And I believe that's because of heartache. I believe that's because of not knowing who they are and ultimately just not having a voice. So that's how I came to my epiphany. And that's where my change started.
Wow. It's amazing to be able to look back at people that we respect and admire and look up to and say, yes, I want that. But with this contingency, you know, with change. And I think that's what makes each generation greater and greater. So looking at my daughters, and I see some of the same patterns in them that I had as a kid, and that overachiever and the drive to build this amazing life. And I'll pull them aside and talk to them about setting boundaries and saying, it's okay. It's healthy to say, I would love to help you, but I cannot tonight.
Mm-hmm.
End of discussion. You don't have to give a reason. You don't have to feel guilty. Because I think it is so inborn in us as women to try to help everybody else to our own neglect.
To our own neglect. And we have to learn how to enforce healthy boundaries. We really do as women. That's something that we don't know how to do. And just like the way you mentioned, you know, like I admire these women and I tell you, that survival mechanism is the woman that you're talking to today.
Mm.
But just like you say, generations, I truly thank God that he opened my eyes to see that you could be a successful entrepreneur. You could be a successful mother and a wife, but you don't have to live a life broken. I gave you that power and that feminine energy within yourself. So it is for you to tap into that. And that's where your strength comes from. And I don't have to live a life of survival. I'm able to live a life of thriving.
Absolutely, because it's not a bad thing to help people. It's not a bad thing to have ambition. It's all about the balance.
Amazing thing.
Yeah, it's all about the balance. I love that. So how did you make a change? How did you move from that dark night into who you are now?
You know, my story is pretty interesting. I decided, you know, when this is a cliche, when most people turn 40, what do people do? I want to buy this expensive gift, take this big trip, have this amazing party. But I was such at a low that my spirit said, no, you have to do something that will challenge you to be loyal to yourself and not give up on yourself. And what do I mean by that? Because as I mentioned earlier, I was giving myself to everybody. I was making sure everybody's life is orchestrated, meaning from whatever they needed to what they wanted, to what they wanted to pursue, I was making sure that was happening. And even if finances were included and I had to do something, I would put myself to the backbone and say, okay, I'll do it next time. Let's make sure you're taken care of. And that's where that came from. It just came on my spirit and said, you have to find something that will challenge you to really tap into yourself and be loyal to yourself and do something from the beginning to the end to complete it so you can start trusting yourself again. And I don't know where it came from. I said, I'll run the Chicago Bank of America Marathon.
Oh, wow. You know, something right? Easy.
26.2 miles. And it's interesting. Like I did it and I signed up for it the next day. The hardest thing for me was the training and really not the marathon. But I have to tell you, that's where my transformation started. It took one step at a time. I will never forget this. That day I was meant to run 8 miles. That was on my schedule. I ran my 4 miles, but for whatever reason, my mind, body, and soul was so exhausted from everything that was going on around me, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm already depleted because I don't fill my tank up. Mm-hmm. And I reached the 4 mile marker and I was supposed to go, of course, I'm going back. Mm-hmm. Jenny, I just couldn't take another step. Mm-hmm. I just started crying.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize why I was crying. But then I told myself, you have to go back. Do you know that every step that I took, I just kept on crying, but every step I felt lighter and lighter and lighter. I tell people now that running is my therapy. Now, everybody doesn't have to run. I just recommend what is your marathon? Because those steps and each step I was taking, I was shedding my abuse. I was shedding the little victim, the girl. I was shedding the betrayal. I was forgiving myself. And I didn't intentionally do that. It just happened as I was taking one step at a time. That's how my change started. That's how my transformation started. And from then I ran 2 marathons. I was going to run another one last year, but there was COVID.
Yeah.
It's
amazing how when we get outside of our heads, you know, and into our bodies, how that opens the door for transformation. And I am not a runner. Unless something scary is chasing me, I don't run.
Most of my friends and my husband, they think I'm crazy, but that's okay.
But you know, mine is through pole dancing. And so, but it's about the physicality and turning off your brain and just moving your body. There's something so healing about that. Not only is it getting you out of your head for a little bit, not only is it a healthy thing to move your body, but I feel like when we set up these little challenges for ourselves and we conquer them, it gives us that bravery to do that in other places in our lives.
Yes.
So because you were able to conquer this marathon, it's like, hey, I can do hard things. I can do something that I never thought I could do. That opens up your mind for conquering other things in your life.
And that's absolutely correct. And I even tell my clients, you don't have to conquer the whole mountain. It is truly one step at a time. Because when I did my first mile, I was so proud of myself when I first started, just that 1 mile. And I didn't even run the whole mile when I first started. I walked, I jogged. I think I probably walked more than I jogged or ran. But it's just like what you were saying, those little challenges, when you accomplish that little challenges, it lights up something in you that says, you can do it. It lights up that fire in you that you stopped using of saying, trust yourself. It lights up that fire that says, listen to your voice, that fire that says you're enough, you can do it. So then every day it's like, okay, I can do a little bit more. I can do a little bit more. I think a lot of people get pulled away because they feel they have to conquer the mountain. It's like building anything. It's one brick at a time.
Absolutely.
And that's how my transformation started. It was one step at a time.
Absolutely. Not only is it bite-sized pieces, you're very slowly building that trust in yourself, and you're very slowly taking your power back. Yes. I think for so many of us who had their power stolen by whatever it was, we're able to reclaim that when we say, I did this. I ran that mile, and for the first time, I didn't walk at all, you know, or whatever it is that you're taking on. I think you're able to reclaim your power and say, I hold the power now. It's mine.
And you're right about that, because I'm glad you mentioned the word power, because I'm a girl who was, I guess the word, how I put it, I'm that young girl who was molested. I'm that young girl who was physically abused. So I don't identify to that victim girl anymore, but I was that broken little girl in a woman's body, almost turning 40. So you're right. That helped me get my power back too. Mm. It really did. It helped me get my power back. Yeah.
How powerful for you as a woman in your 40s to look back at that little girl and be like, look at what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know,
like, you have a picture of me as a little girl on my phone. And every time I see myself, because that gives me, you know, when I look at her, I'm like, we got this.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, yes. Yeah. So good. So Isabel, I know for some people, focusing on their own needs can feel selfish. How do you recommend overcoming that mindset?
That's such a great question, Jenny, especially for women. For me, not focusing on your own needs is self-betrayal.
Oh, wow.
Let me tell you what I mean by that. We discussed this earlier. As women, we're nurturers. We love, we care, we do all that. Iyana Vazant said something that was so profound, and I've carried that with me. She said, it is not selfish to take care of your needs first. It's actually self-full, because you want to fill your tank up first, and whatever remains is for everybody else. That resonated with me so much, because since my transformation, even when it comes to my family, I thought I loved them then. The way I love them now is totally different. And you know why? Because I've taught myself how to love myself, and I know what love looks like. Mm. You cannot drive a car on an empty tank. Mm-hmm. It's the same philosophy. You cannot give what you don't have, women. You can't. Because what happens is we keep giving what we don't have, and we stay in this state of perpetual anxiety, depression. We're exhausted. We're depleted. We're unhappy. Our soul is heavy. And ultimately, we don't even know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we're focusing on filling everybody else's tank but our own. So no, it is not selfish to take care of your own needs first. It's actually smart. It's selfful. It's healthy. And you're not betraying yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can definitely tell when I haven't been filling my own tank enough, and I try to help somebody, one of my kids or my husband or a friend, and I feel that little seed of resentment. You know,
I'm about to say that.
Yeah, you do. You get resentful. Like, well, why isn't anyone taking care of me? Why isn't anyone helping me with XYZ? It's kind of that put your oxygen mask on before you help somebody else. Same concept. You've got to.
And just like you said, you were telling your daughters, as women, no is really a full sentence, period.
Yes.
It truly is. You don't have to be everywhere. You don't have to do for everyone. Take a couple steps back and really look at your landscape and do the things that serve you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you start filling your tank up.
Absolutely.
So no is a full sentence. We need to start learning to use no a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, that concern about saying no, I think a lot of us feel like, oh, I need to take on all these challenges. I can wear all of these hats. I can be mom and business owner and wife and church attendee and all of these different things. And we pride ourselves in how much we can withstand as women and how much we can take on, how much pain we can handle.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's so much pressure for women to, you know, oh, well, she's so strong. She can handle all of this stuff. I would love if you would speak to that a little bit more, kind of that pressure that women are under to hold all of these things for everyone.
Yeah. So because for so many years, 17 to 40 came in a blink of an eye. So between 17 and the brink of the age 40, it was survival life for me. I was sold the story like a lot of women. You are a strong woman. You are a strong woman. And that's great. But I don't subscribe to that cape anymore. And I'll tell you why. Because I noticed that I was a single mother. So I've lived through so many life experiences and I understand pain. So I've been a single mother. I'm a married woman. So I've been to, I understand both aspects of it, right? But this, you're a strong woman. Society created this. And these are expectations that society has for women. It leaves us broken because I feel that we measure a man's strength by how much weight he can lift. But then we measure a woman's strength or power by how much pain she can endure. So the more struggle you have, if you're going through a divorce, or like me, if you lose yourself along the way in all these roles that we play, yeah, and then your soul is depleted. But everybody's like, you're such a strong woman. When I was a single mother by myself, I'm 17 years old. I'm miles away from home. As I mentioned, I'm African. Everybody praised me how well I was doing, raising my son. And, you know, you walk around like, okay, this is it. But here is the truth. Because everybody considered me a strong woman. When I needed help, I didn't ask for help. And a lot of women do that. But we have to wake up and really realize this. You never hear people describe a man's strength because, oh, he suffered so much emotionally. Oh, he was able to endure that abuse. Oh, he was able. They never correlate his strength to his emotion. But for women, our strength is attached to our emotion. So the more pain and the more suffering and the more hurt and the more you're silenced when you don't have a voice is when people look at you because you're out there being an entrepreneur woman and doing it and, you know, taking care of your family. People are like, oh my God, you're so strong and we live by it and we carry that cape. And I'll say this to all the women, but specifically me speaking, especially from an African woman, a Black woman, it's like a staple in our culture. Mm-hmm. Being called a strong woman is the thing. My goal is to teach women it's not the thing. It truly is not the thing. There is nothing wrong with being strong. And to be honest with you, we're already born strong because God has given us that divine feminine energy that is within us. And you know what we do? We bring life into this world. I don't know how much stronger you want somebody to be.
Exactly.
Even for the women who have not given children, they have the same, they're made the same way as us. It doesn't make you any less because you've not had a child. You're still nurturing. You're still caring. So I just came to the conclusion that I don't need to subscribe to society's expectations or definition of what my strength or power is. I have tapped into my God-given feminine energy. And truly, Jenny, ever since I did that, I operate from humility, I operate from power, and I truly operate from strength,
yes.
True divine strength, not this strength that has been placed on us women and is defined by how much our heart breaks.
I absolutely love what you've said about feminine power. And how incredibly powerful we are as women. And that my books, Rituals for Feminine Power, that's what it's all about, is tapping into that. You know, we've been taught that feminine is less than, where feminine needs to look exactly like this. And it doesn't. We can define what it is to be a woman. And like you said, whether you're someone who's had children or has chosen to never have children, or you're someone who is cis woman or is not, I feel like we define what makes us women. We define what makes us strong.
Yes.
I absolutely love that.
Yes. And, so and that's why it's important for me to let women know that strength that you're subscribing to, that's not the strength you need to subscribe to. Tap into yourself, that divine feminine energy power that you were born with, that strength is so amazing that you don't, your heart doesn't have to be broken for you to be strong.
Yes. And that's what pulls people in. That's when you get that magnetic energy that, you know, someone walks in the room and everyone's eyes are on her. She's standing in that power, in her power.
Her power.
And yeah.
And that doesn't mean your life is perfect because nobody's
life. Oh, yeah, no.
It's just knowing, acknowledging just who you are.
Yeah.
And just tapping into yourself and just operating from that space. So yeah, that is, thank you for asking that question, because that is like my alarm telling the strong woman thing. Like, can we please define it? So I don't want these young girls living a life like I did from 17 to 40, you know, just living in pain and broken and their heart is in all these pieces, but they don't want to lift their hand up and say, I need help, because they're seeing everybody around them being strong, but we're really not strong. That's just the fake armor that we carry. That strength that society is giving us, that's not where our strength is coming from. So we need to tap in.
I think that was one of the biggest lessons that having a chronic illness has taught me is the need to ask for help. Yeah. And it can be very humbling. There's days where, you know, I'm in tears because I'm so frustrated. I don't want to have to ask for help. Yeah. But it's such an important lesson that we all need help. We all need help, everybody. And that it's not a sign of weakness to ask for help, that it actually makes you a stronger person to be able to rely on the people around us.
It does. And it does make you stronger because, and most people don't know, they think because you're a coach. I tell people I have a coach too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The journey. There is no destination. The only thing that I'm doing is I see you. I've been where you're at. Mm-hmm. I'm just a little bit further than where you're at. And I found out tools, rituals, and resources that help me become the woman that I am today. And it's helping me tap into my feminine energy. But there is nothing perfect about me. It is still a journey. I'm still learning every day. I remember one time a lady said, Isabel, you have figured this out. I said, you know what? The day I think I've figured life out is the day that I lose. Mm-hmm. And I don't want people to think that I've figured anything out, because then that takes my own power away, because I'm still human. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm a teacher, that doesn't mean I'm not a student. I'm as much of a student as I am a teacher of life.
I love that. So how important is it to spend time working on ourselves?
Woo! I'm loving these questions. Listen, the knowledge of self is the highest form of knowledge any human being can obtain. Get to know who you are, because that's your identity. Don't let other people tell you who you are. Get to know what you value. Get to know what your needs are. Just get to know who you are. If you're going to find any form of knowledge, the highest form of knowledge is getting to spend time with yourself and knowing who you are.
So true. Yeah. And as we're getting to know who we are, what do you think are the most important things that we can work on? Like, where should we start? What should we focus on first?
My biggest thing is stillness. I have people who come to me and they say, how do I start my transformation? Be still. And they think, what is she talking about? Just be still. No, I'm really serious, especially women. The external forces are constantly putting us out, leaving us out there. We're constantly going and going and going. Sit back, pull back a little bit. Even if it's 2 minutes a day, just listen to yourself breathe. Trust me on this. You will start hearing your voice. You will start tapping into your intuition, because most of us live this life based on other people's expectations and opinions of who we're supposed to be. But here's the thing, Jenny. We stay in this, like as I mentioned earlier, in this cycle, this roller coaster cycle, trying to perfect a human being that does not exist. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say this human being does not exist, because you're trying to perfect a human being that everybody else said you're supposed to be. What we don't realize as women, because we serve a lot of people, each person in your life has a perception and a view and an opinion of how they want you to show up in their life. So if you don't get a hold of yourself and start tapping in by being still and listening to your own voice, you will continue to hear everybody else's voice. You will continue to chase that voice, to try to become who everybody wants you to be. You will not achieve that because that human being does not exist. The only person that exists is the person that's within you. And the only way to start that journey and to work on yourself is sit back, tap in, be still. Number two, get a journal. You don't have to journal every day. I'm a coach. I would love to journal every day. Life takes over. I do not journal every day, but I tell you what helped me. I took a journal and I say to myself, so do this for yourself. Be still, take a journal, and be honest with yourself. This is where I'm at in life, good, bad, or indifferent. What am I moving away from? And what am I looking towards? Write that down, but just be honest with yourself. That's where it all starts. And then start trusting yourself.
Yeah. And I think in the stillness, that's when we really find the connectedness between our body and our mind and our soul. Yeah. And when things start to sync up and connect and we can find that truest version of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just in stillness. You remember we talked about one step at a time. Mm-hmm. We talked about one bite at a time.
Mm-hmm.
1 minute at a time. 1 minute a day. You have 24 hours in the day. Give yourself a minute. It will change your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love that you focused on trusting yourself to begin that transformation. I think too, knowing it's not going to be a perfect, easy ride. It's going to be a bumpy road.
It's not easy at all. It is truly self-development or getting connected with yourself, trying to get that highest knowledge of who you are.
Yeah,
it is the hardest thing to do because we have a lot of unlearning and unpacking to do. And most of the times we don't even want to be in that state of being honest with ourselves and saying, this is not working. This relationship is not working. This job is not working. Who I am is not filling me up.
Mm-hmm.
You have to want to make a change in order to make a change. I'm going to be very honest with you because mm-hmm. it's not an easy thing to do, but it's very doable. Because if I could do it, a young girl, 17 years old, miles away from Africa, comes here, finds herself in this crazy situation. I end up pregnant. I'm a single mother. My parents are miles away. Look where I'm at today. Trust me. If I can overcome that, if I can overcome that, you can overcome anything. But just one step at a time. And what Jenny said, just one bite at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Isabella, our podcast is called Ashes to Wings. Referring to the story of the phoenix transforming and rising from the ashes, yeah. I like to ask all of our guests this question. What does rise above mean in your life?
Rise above. Ooh, a lot. A lot, Jenny, a lot. Ooh, you know what that means to me? When I look at my life, and I love the name of your podcast, Ashes to Wings, when I call it that to my life, I came from ashes to peace, joy, and freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And from ashes to peace, joy, and freedom. That's the ultimate, is to get the peace, joy, and freedom to create the life that one desires and just to fulfill your life. It's all about fulfillment.
Wonderful. And would that be your bumper sticker too then?
I like that.
It's perfect. Yeah. Short and sweet.
I love it. Yes.
So beautiful. Well, I have a few rapid fire questions for you. I don't know if you've listened. We have some fun questions. I like my fun questions. What profession other than your own would you like to try?
Other than my own. I want to be a backup dancer.
Ooh, fun.
I love to dance. I used to dance in high school. I went to boarding school. So we used to have where we performed. Mm-hmm. And I always used to perform. I was a dancer. But I've always dreamed. My husband keeps telling me, you need to go do it. I've always imagined myself being a backup dancer, like behind somebody, Beyonce, Rihanna, and just dance. No, truly, I would love to be a backup dancer.
Oh, that sounds so much fun. Love it. What is your favorite word?
Love.
Such a good one. And what is your superpower?
compassion.
I can feel that. This is a fun one. What are your favorite pizza toppings?
Pineapple, pepperoni.
Yeah, yes, pepperoni. Another pineapple person.
Yeah, yeah.
Veggies, but all mixed up together with the pineapple.
Love yeah. it. What book belongs on everyone's bookshelf?
Oh, The Untethered Soul.
Ooh, okay.
Michael Singer, yes. There's so many. The Untethered Soul.
What a great title.
Course of Miracles, too. Mm. Course of Miracles, that's a big one, yeah.
Was it Cause of Miracles?
Course of Miracles, The Course of Miracles, yeah.
Awesome. And then what is your guilty pleasure song?
Oh, right now or just period?
Just period.
I have so many. Right now it's an African song. It's called Don't Rush. I love the song. It goes, Don't Rush. That's my guilty pleasure song. I love the beats. I love it.
Love it. It sounds fun.
Yeah, because it keeps, it adds to my life. It reminds me, don't rush, take your time. Breathe. Don't rush.
Yes. I love that so much. Well, Isabel, I know you have an offer just for our Ashes to Wings listeners. Tell us about that.
My offer to anybody who's listening, and if this resonates with you, and even if it doesn't resonate with you, but you're asking yourself, could this be me? I'm offering a 30-minute complimentary session just to discuss to see where you're at, or if my coaching services is something that you need, or if there's any way that I could support you. And I would like to get to know you, whether I become your coach or not. So please feel free to contact me and take advantage of the 30-minute complimentary session that you and I can have.
Wonderful. So gracious. Thank you. And you can find the link for that offer along with Isabel's social media links on her guest page on our website. That's at ashestowings.net/Isabel, ISABEL-drawn, DRAUGHON. Make sure you give her a follow. Isabel, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Jenny. I really appreciate it. I had an amazing time, and I hope your audience enjoys this conversation.
Yes, if nothing else, we did.
All right, exactly. That's the truth.
Yes. So just to recap our episode and some of the points that Isabel brought forth, the first was the importance of self-development and actualization. The second is why it's important to take care of your three pillars, mind, body, and soul. And the third was trusting yourself to begin on your own life transformation. And again, Isabel's bumper sticker was, from ashes to peace, joy, and freedom. These fit so nicely with our values at Ashes to Wings, from the importance of self-development to taking care of your whole self. I hope you've learned something that helps you transform your life today. Don't forget to check out Isabel's guest page. Again, that's ashestowings.net/Isabel-drawn. Friends, thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow the show, rate, and review. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. The best way to learn is to teach someone else. So take one thing you learned today and share it with a friend. Find Jenny on Instagram at @the_Jenny_O'Connor and online at jennyoconnor.com. Subscribe for new episodes. Until next time, rise above.